Today's scripture comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And I really, really enjoy this scripture, just with the uplifting and very empowering message. But also, towards the end, it sounds like Paul is giving the Christian pregame pep talk. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we about to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not withhold his own Son, but he gave him up for all of us. Will he not with him also give everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is to condemn? Is it Christ who died? Yes. Who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our brother in Christ for offering those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? We thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, and we are grateful. Thank you for your word that speaks a grace beyond our understanding, and yet a grace that is offered specifically for us, for salvation, for healing, for new life. In all these things, Lord, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. A man was driving on a back dirt road, and it had been raining, and the truck, as happens on muddy roads, sometimes slid off the road and got stuck in a ditch. You ever been stuck in a ditch? Sometimes, more often than you. Was it anybody's fault other than yours? We don't want to go into that. Stuck in a ditch on the side of the road. And so he walked a mile down the road, and he asked the farmer if he had a truck that could pull out the truck that was stuck in the ditch. The farmer said, no, but I got a mule. And his name is Old Blue. The guy said, I don't think Old Blue's going to be able to do anything for my truck. Well, the farmer said, we'll see. So the farmer led Old Blue down that road, hitched up Old Blue to that truck, and just kind of gave him a slap on the rump and said, come on, Old Blue. Come on, Old Blue. Pull it. Pull it. Nothing. Nothing happened. Well, he started shouting again, and he said, come on, Neil, come on, Neil, pull it, pull it. Nothing happened. Said a third time, come on, Sandy, pull it, pull it. Finally, that mule starts pulling that truck out of that ditch. Amazingly, pulls it all the way out onto the road. Well, the guy who owned the truck was amazed, and he said, you know, to our farmer, how in the world did that work out? And why were you saying three different names to that mule? Well, farmer said, see, old Blue is blind. And if he thought he was the only one pulling, you'd never get that truck out of the ditch. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. It's good to know that we are not alone, isn't it? It's good to know that we aren't alone on the journey. And certainly we are reminded of that every time we gather as the people of God. You see, this is not simply putting in time on Sunday morning. Well, maybe you think that sometimes. Kind of go in, check that off for the week, and somehow your week goes better, you know? You've been thinking about God, and you've been singing, and you've heard Scripture, and you've seen other believers, so you know you're not alone, but you still kind of check it off. No, there's something more going on here. And I'm not saying that just because I'm the pastor here. That's not the point at all. It wouldn't matter who's the pastor here. As the body of Christ, we are gathered by something greater than our own initiative, by our own energy. We are gathered by God's grace, by God's love. Whenever we don't even know what to do, God continues to be at work in our lives because He loves us so deeply. Mark Trotter wrote in his book, Grace All the Way Home, the following words. Throw anything up there. He's talking about prayer here. Throw anything up there. Stumble. Use bad grammar. Have long, embarrassing pauses. Split your infinitives. And even dangle your participles. It doesn't matter. Hear this. Just groan or sigh if that's all you can do. Because God's hearing your prayer does not depend on your eloquence, but on God's grace, which is already at work in your life. Hopeful, isn't it? And true. Doesn't matter how eloquent we are. There have been numerous people that have said, well, I don't think that I can pray, Pastor. Well, groaning, sighing, simply opening yourself in a way that is honest and vulnerable before God is a prayer. We don't have to have the right words. God has the right grace for us already. Whenever we make choices in our lives, and certainly, just coming here today, you've made a choice. Along the way, this separates us from other options then. We can't do everything. I know for some of you that's really challenging to understand. Almost impossible. You don't want to accept that. You don't want to acknowledge that. I want to do everything. I think I can do everything. And yet we can't. We make choices. We take certain paths. And being here today in this gathering, you've made a choice to be open to God. With whatever else is going on in your life, with whatever other motivations, you've made a choice to be open to God. In that choice also, there's a leaving behind of other things, isn't there? There's a setting aside of other options. Because you have said, Lord, I seek to put you first in my life. In this letter of Paul to the Romans, he is reminding them again and again and again that they are called to put God first. Some have said that in all of Paul's writings, in everything he wrote. This is the pinnacle of what he wrote. This is the most amazing letter, theologically deep, and in fact, chapter 8 might even be the pinnacle, the mountaintop experience. I'm not sure, that's for each of us to judge as we read it. But think about something in your life that you've done very well, that you kind of stood back and said, hey, that's not bad. Good job. Chapter 8 has to be that for Paul, I would think, because it's absolutely brilliant. But there are familiar words, actually, that are back in chapter 5 that I wanted to go ahead and share with you as well. They'll sound very familiar because actually he starts this long discourse in chapter 5 that continues through chapter 8 in this letter. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. Here it is. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Those are familiar words, and Paul repeats them later on in chapter 8. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Life is hard, in other words, Paul is writing, and that may be a shock to you. If I'm sharing that, if you're hearing that for the first time, you should be glad you're sitting down, right, to receive that news. Life is hard. All of these things are realities. And yet, even when life is hard, we understand that God continues to be at work. N.T. Wright offers this quote, "The suffering of Christians was to be taken up into the ongoing purposes of God, not to add to the unique achievement of Jesus the Messiah, but to embody it in the world." Dr. Albert Wynn offers the following. He notes that at the heart of biblical faith, we do not find airtight arguments sealed with a therefore. This also talks about the mysterious work of God in our lives. We don't always understand how God works, do we? We don't always understand. And we never will understand completely. And that's okay. All is right with the world, therefore. Let us have faith. Therefore, let us praise God. Rather, at the heart of biblical faith, we find things that do not logically follow at all, sealed with a nevertheless. Much is wrong with the world. The mystery of evil is great. Nevertheless, let us have faith. Nevertheless, let us praise God. Perhaps we can better understand the mysteries of life if we remember nevertheless. God is sovereign, you see. God is in control. We continue to share these truths. And yet, we hear of the incredible tragedy in Norway. We hear of death. We hear of violence. We hear of evil. We hear of those starving around the world. They haven't had food for weeks. And we wonder, God, where are you in that? Sometimes those things are simply beyond our understanding. And yet it doesn't mean that we are conquered. It doesn't mean that God has stopped working. It doesn't mean that we are separated from God. The early church needed to hear that, and we need to hear it today as well. What does the scripture say? We are more than conquerors. You know where I have read this scripture passage more often than anything else? Whenever I visit people in the jail. I continue to turn to chapter 8 and just read that. In fact, I find myself, whenever I need to remind that person who's sitting in front of me of God's grace, I find myself turning to chapter 8. And if people read it out of context, that's okay, because the words are more than eloquent. They are powerful. After I read that earlier section about hardship and distress and persecution or famine, any of those things separating us, after earlier in the letter, Paul talks about endurance and perseverance and continuing to fight the good fight, if you will, he concludes with these words. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Powerful words, and yet words that speak in the nitty-gritty and in the muck of daily living. Words that speak to us whenever we are broken. Words that speak to us whenever we are hurt. Words that speak to us whenever we feel like we've been betrayed. Words that speak to us in the midst of news of evil at work. These words, my friends, therefore, speak to us today. I would suggest that you mark in your Bibles that passage. I would suggest that you mark that to be able to look at again and again and again. Because Paul is speaking to a people that were going to continue to face challenges. And any of us who claim that name of Christ, who claim that saving relationship with God through Christ, and seek to live our lives in a Christ-centered way, will always be challenged by things that are not of Christ, by things that are speaking of that power of evil in the world. I can remember a particular situation, and it was a one-on-one kind of situation involving a particular youth who is in jail, and a Kaya ministry where we go in and offer a reminder to them that these youth have made some bad decisions, that are coming out of horrendous situations, that they're still loved, that they continue to be defined by God, and that's something that is holy and healing and nurturing. And oftentimes, whenever you share that with somebody, they've been betrayed, they've been beaten, they've been isolated, they've dealt with evil firsthand in their lives, they've been abused. Sometimes they're like that mule that's trying to pull on their own, and they think that they can do it on their own. But in this one instant, with this young sister in Christ, at a particular point in that Kyle weekend, when we were holding hands and we were praying, and I offered these words to her. We are more than conquerors, because none of these things will separate us from God. And she'd been hearing Scripture, and she'd been receiving those words of truth, and in holding her hands and simply offering those words, because I had no other words to offer, I simply needed to point her towards God, who loves her more than she can imagine. And the most incredible reminder of God's grace and poignant touch of God's grace happened in that particular moment when she realized that she wasn't alone, that God truly loved her. I was holding her hands in prayer, and my hands were on top of hers, and I felt tears fall, touching my hand, one after another. Whenever it says we're more than conquerors, there's that moment of holiness that takes place. Sometimes tears come forward in recognizing that God loves us more than we can imagine. There was no utterance, and yet that was a prayer that was offered at that very moment. And I simply soaked in the silence as well and received her prayer, her tears, as an offering. And God received it and saw that it was good. And there was a reminder in that time of intimacy and power that God was still at work. Do those things change the disasters that are happening around the world, the events of such tremendous brokenness and evil that we're overwhelmed by them? No, but do they point to God continually being at work? Yes. And does it point to the fact that God is at work in individual lives all the time? Yes. And does it point to the fact that even through tears sometimes, God ministers and washes us clean and renews us and gives us hope for tomorrow? Yes. So you see, nothing, it is true, nothing, this can be trusted, nothing in all creation can separate us. No matter what we've been through, no matter what challenges await, nothing can separate us from God's grace and God's power and God's love. With that knowledge, I invite you to our time of discipleship to think about what it is in your life that you think is keeping you from a more intimate relationship with God. What is it that you're carrying with you still? Or maybe what challenges lie ahead that right now you really can just lay before God? He doesn't want you to carry those things anymore. He simply wants you to receive His love and His power. And know that even if you can't utter a word of prayer, know that in the silence, God receives that. He defines you. He's at work in you. He loves you. Be open to that love right now.